God, and welcome. I am Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. I apologize for the momentarily delayed that you have encountered. We were just trying to get situated and get it going. You know, anytime there's a word from the Lord, the devil gets a little busy. But praise God for my listeners tonight. I thank you all for tuning in and listening to my show, Empowering for All, produced by Ms. Nikki Rich. On tonight's show, I'm going to be discussing domestic violence. I also will be sharing with you my own verbal abuse that I encountered in an association that I had. I ask you all to pray for me and keep me lifted. Tonight, going into this topic reopens a wound. Anytime a wound is open, it causes pain. I am in that forgiveness stage, but it still sometimes hurts. Now, I'm not going to overshadow, I'm not going to discourage, but I am going to encourage. Domestic abuse can and will kill. But before I go into the message, I am going to move forward and play a song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to begin tonight's show. Thank you for listening. I'll be back in a moment.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're going to be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, because they built your love through. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your heart.
Amen. Go Get Your Blessings. That is one of my favorite songs by Mary Mary. Welcome back and good evening. I am Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. Thank you so much for tuning in to my new radio show entitled Empowering for All. Do continue to tune in and listen to me every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Central. Shout out and praise God for my awesome producer, Ms. Nikki Rich. I always like to start my show for my new listeners who are tuning in to briefly give you a connection to who I am and who you're listening to. Once again, I am Evangelist Yolanda McTeer, born and raised in Akron, Ohio. You've heard that city and state before because the infamous and famous LeBron James is from Akron, Ohio. I moved to Atlanta, Georgia at the ripe age of 17, 3 months shy of my 18th birthday. I didn't know at the time after 26 years, probably 27, I lose track of time, it's been so long, but we're going to say between 26 to 27 years of residency in Atlanta, Georgia, that God would allow Atlanta to be my mess. And in my mess, he was going to birth my message. I am the vessel that God snatched from the secular life. I was dancing on the stages as an exotic dancer, and God snatched me from dancing on the stages to the pages of the Bible. Praise God for restoration and turning me around and placing my feet in his kingdom ground. In the process of what you're seeing now in my harvest season, going forth to be able to speak to you God's word, God took me in a solemn, humble, lonely, but he was with me the whole time, isolated place. It is there I spent time with God one-on-one. He stripped me, he molded me, he shaped me, he equipped me, and he continued to deposit in me the gift that he has given me to go forth and speak to his people. And as his sheep, I know his voice. Now, for tonight's show, God has instructed me to reopen a wound that can be painful for me, but I know God is going to carry me through this show. Tonight's show, I'm going to speak to you about domestic violence. As we see every day in the world, domestic violence is becoming so much more prevalent like never before. We are seeing women who are famous coming on TV, going through it when you think that they have it together, but they go through just like people who don't have riches and fame. So I don't want to categorize and title anybody, because whether you are rich, wholesome, or just humble, you can be subjective to domestic violence. It can kill you. Men, I'm not excluding you, because you can be subjected to it as well. There's a lot of times men have had to come and interact with women who are violent. That's not a good place. Being raised in a home with domestic violence, that is Yolanda McTeer. My father was very abusive to my mother. I encountered that from the ripe young age that I can recall of being alive on this earth, well into becoming a woman, leaving home at the age of 17. It wasn't a cycle. It was a continual thing that went on in the household. And I remember many times I would go in my room and I would cry. And I said, God, how could this be happening? How am I seeing this? And I would go to school and I would look at my friends and I would say, wow. And I apologize, because I told you anytime I open up this wound, it hurts. And I said, how can my mother sit there and take this? It wasn't just a slap. It wasn't just a hollering. She was beat to a pulp. And it wasn't because she wasn't a good mother. It wasn't because she wasn't doing the right things. He was just an angry, bitter man. And I didn't know until I got older and I had the strength and God had given me the extra pulling I need of that strength to forgive him, that I began to ask and inquire, where did this come from? Where did he learn this from? Or did he just have this evilness inside of him that he wanted to just take it out on my mother? And as I began to research and speak to many family members, I found out that it was a cycle that had repeated through my grandfather. My dad's father was an abuser. I didn't know, and God bless her soul, Grandmama Lula, I love you. God bless her soul. She died many years ago. I didn't know that my grandfather had abused my grandmother so much that she had to run away to another state to keep her life. He was going to kill her. So I'm sharing that with you to let you know, when you hear people say that it is a vicious cycle that will continue through generations of your children and your children's children, I stand here as a testimony to share with you that is not a lie. It is truthful. I am that vessel that had to endure that. I had to see that, and I had to come to learn about that, where it came from. Now, my mother found the strength in the midst of me being, I think, 15 or 16 years old, and she, you know, said, okay, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to do this. But because she really didn't have, as we say as a scientist, she didn't have an education. She hadn't worked a lot of jobs because I'm going to give credit where credit is due. This is not a bashing. This is not a look down. This is not a takedown of my father, because he was a great provider. He worked very hard, and he provided for us. And in that time of my life, we were considered middle class. So, but the times that he was around, it was so stressful and unrelaxing and unpeaceful that sometimes you would hate to see him come home. Not because I didn't love him, because I knew all he was going to do was raise hell and attack my mother. So moving forward, women, if you're listening to me tonight, and you are in that relationship, or you know someone who's in that association of domestic violence from their spouse, partner, or boyfriend, whoever he is to her, tell them to get out, because it doesn't stop. It continues. Unless that individual, as a man, is willing to confront where it came from. And many men are so ego-driven that they defy the realness of what's going on the inside. Let me repeat that. Many men are so ego-driven that they defy the real reason of the anger that lays in the inside of them. So they're not willing to go to God to pray and ask to release this. They're not willing to go speak to a counselor or a therapist and ask for assistance. They think it's okay. And women, we become so fearful because we're trapped in that connection of being emotionally tied to this man. We don't want to walk away. And many a times financially we're not able to walk away because we've had children with this man, we've built a life with this man, we're living with this man, we're in the house with this man, that we say, where else can I go? And women, a lot of times your pride is on your shoulder. You say, I don't want my friends or family to look at me as a failure. I don't want them to know that I allowed myself to be subjected to such mistreatment. It's not about what people think about you. It is who you know you are, and you are worthy to be set free because you are God's creation. God created us to be loved, nurtured, and cared for, not to be tormented, beaten on, mistreated, and disgraced. When I remember, as I can recall, I remember a time that the abuse was so detrimental that I thought for sure my mother was going to die. Now, you can imagine at that time, because I was raised as an only child, I didn't, my sister and brother, who were twins, didn't come along until 11 years later. So being in my younger stages, all I had was myself and my Barbie dolls and my teddy bears, and, you know, and my circle was always small, so I didn't have a lot of friends. And when you're that young, what can you say to your friends? Oh, guess what? My daddy beats my mommy? No, that's not cool. That's not acceptable. It's not presentable. And you not dare go and have your friends who you told tell their parents, and they come and talk to your parents, and then now you're in trouble because you've told the family business. So I had to keep all this bundled up inside, going to school, trying to study, and even on sometimes on holidays, my holidays were spent disastrous. There was one time my mother wanted a present, and she didn't get it. And I guess her response wasn't what he was looking for. He beat her badly and then had the nerve to say, you asked for it, Holy Ghost, to continue my show tonight. So for me, a lot of times, I would ask God when I became older and was out on my own, why holiday seasons didn't set well with me. And we try and cover it up because a lot of times you hear it as well. People who are adults have suppressed memories. They have suppressed things that have happened. I did that. I had suppressed that hurt, disappointment, disgrace, anger. And I had to get in a place, and I had to wail, and I do mean wail, and I don't mean like an animal. I mean wail and cry and cry and say, God, what is wrong with me? Why am I continuously hurting? And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, my daughter, you have not let go. You have not forgiven your father for what you saw, for what you encountered. Now that I'm carrying you to your harvest season, you have to release it. Even though you may not understand it, even though you may not appreciate it, but you have to forgive and let it go. So once you let it go, my daughter, you can begin to grow. You can begin to move forward. And I didn't know at that time that by me harvesting that hurt and bitterness toward my father, it was very hurtful in my associations and dealings with men. I didn't have successful associations and relationships with men because I didn't realize until my late 30s that I had put up the wall that I was not going to let any man get close to me, to connect to me, to hurt me the way my father had hurt me. Once again, let me repeat that. I allowed the anger and suppression that I had from being a witness to domestic abuse as a child to hurt my associations and connections of dealing with men. I put up a wall of steel. And when I would see them getting close to me, I would do everything to sabotage the association. Now, I'm speaking to you now in my harvest season with God at 44. And there's sometimes, even when I meet someone, I have to remind myself, don't do that. Don't judge. Don't go into the realm of thinking he's going to be just like your father. Everyone is different, and you cannot hold a man accountable for what your father did, or you're afraid of what this man will do to you. But what happened? I finally said, okay, I'm going to release this. I'm going to associate. I'm going to love. I'm going to embrace love. I'm going to open love. Bam. Guess what? I connected with a man who was a verbal abuser. So there we go. There's the cycle. You have to be so careful that you don't get so lonely and seeking companionship that you let the enemy slip in and give you what you've been fighting to get rid of. And that's what I did. I detoured my course with Christ to straighten up my love life. Let me repeat that. I detoured my walk in faith with Christ because I called myself in my flesh. I didn't let God do it. I got in my flesh and got grown and got in front of God and got out of order. And by me doing that out of my flesh, I connected with a mess. Now, I'm going to stop there. I do have to take a break, and I hope and pray that you are being encouraged and understand where I'm going to help you and teach you tonight about domestic violence. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to go into the next thing of me associating and connecting out of my flesh with the man who ended up being very verbally abusive to me. I'll be back in a moment.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody.
Hello.
I went across the deep
Hello.
Blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Searched all over.
Searched all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singer, and let's just give him the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't
Amen. There is nobody greater. Nobody greater than the Lord. Welcome back. I am your host, Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. I do apologize as I've begun to play that awesome song by Vashawn Mitchell, Nobody Greater. If you heard me speaking to a caller listening live, I am actually working the boards. My lovely producer, she is live as well. She is conditioning me to handle this. So as far as me and telecommunications and actually handling the board live, things get a little topsy-turvy. So forgive me, but you all know that I love you, and I'm going to eventually get this down pat and be able to whip through it like she does. Thank you so much, Nikki, for allowing me the opportunity to go forward and actually work the boards live as I'm speaking on my show. I have a live caller. Golkhan is his name. He has a question for me, and he said he didn't mind going live. He asked the question. He's enjoying my show tonight. Those of you who are just tuning in, I'm going to bring Golkhan on the line here momentarily live so he can ask his question. I've been discussing with you domestic violence. I went and opened a wound that is very painful for me, sharing the domestic violence of what I actually encountered in my own life, being a witness to it. My mother was a victim to domestic violence from my father. And right before the break, I had shared with you how a lot of times the cycle will repeat itself. I had struggled many years and said I wouldn't allow it to happen to me. But when I got off and I took a detour course with God, I allowed my flesh to connect me with some mess. And that mess association that I got tied up with, that man ended up being very verbally abusive to me. Now, before I go into sharing that with you, I'm going to bring Golkhan live, and he's going to ask the question. So bear with me for one moment. Golkhan, are you still on the line with me? This is Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. Thank you for your patience. You still with me?
Stop the presses. Arthur Andrea Clinton has done it again. Niece of the legendary George Clinton of Parliament Funkadelic has brought us her second novel in the Life Knows No Bounds series. A blessing and a curse is what Malika deems her gift of visions of the future. But to women on the outside looking in, Malika got it going on. A handsome, successful husband, obedient kids, an art career, who would ask for more? But then her gift of sight warns her of her husband's desire to leave her. Malika can't figure out what's gone wrong, but a needed vacation and a tall, dark, and wealthy admirer inspire her newfound strength. But to what detrimental end? Andrea Clinton once again takes us on a roller coaster ride full of drama, mystery, and suspenseful twists.
So, Golkhan, are you still there with me?
Yeah, I'm there. I was hearing a commercial as soon as you unmuted me.
Yes, I didn't know what was going on. Once again, that's why I'm apologizing to my audience. I'm getting the hang of this, so just bear with me. We are live. I'm speaking to Golkhan. I'm Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. Golkhan, go ahead and ask me your question that you had.
Okay. I think I missed the beginning portion of your story, and I was just curious, why was your father beating your mother, and was he intoxicated when he was beating her? That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. I'll be happy to answer that. No, you know, gratefully, my father was not a drinker. He drank sociably every blue moon, so he was never intoxicated. He was never under the influence. Since you had missed that part of me sharing my segment, when I got older and I had forgave my father and had enough strength to reopen that wound and I began to research, I had found out that my grandfather, who was my dad's dad, abused my grandmother. So it was a repeated cycle that my father had obtained from him.
Oh, wow. So this is in the family, huh? This domestic abuse.
Domestic abuse was definitely within my father. Most of my father's siblings had left right when my grandmother had left when she fled for her life because they were of age. He was the baby, and he was left behind with my grandfather. And my grandfather pretty much raised him, so he saw the majority of that.
So where do you think that violence comes from? And was he going through a personal problem in his life? What was the cause of all that?
honestly and truthfully, I can't tell you what the issues my grandfather had. Unfortunately, I didn't have the relationship or pleasure of even meeting my grandfather. He had passed on before I was born. So
okay.
I never had an opportunity to speak with him, spend time with him, or even have a relationship with him. My family is very reserved about talking about it. So I was very grateful to get the little information that I did acquire.
Well, thank you for opening up your wound for your audience. Although it's a very touchy subject, it is, I'm sorry to say, it's entertaining to listen to.
Well, you know, and I understand that because that's what testimonies are. You have to relay of what you've gone through so people can understand why you're speaking on the subject. So once again, I thank you so much for tuning in to listen to me tonight. Don't be a stranger. Continue to call in and hear me every Sunday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Central. Also, follow
me on Twitter. Can I ask you for a favor?
Go
ahead. You keep me on? Can you keep me on hold so I can still listen to your show? Because I don't have a laptop or I don't have a computer with me to listen to your show.
Most definitely. I wouldn't dare disconnect you. I was going to leave you on hold and let you hang up at your own free will. So I want you to stay tuned in with me. I didn't want you to go.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, and continual blessings to you, GoCon. Follow me on Twitter as well, and to all my listeners, follow me on Twitter also at Y. Nick Tier, capital Y, capital M, lowercase c, capital T, I-E-R. Now, I'm going to move forward because you know when you are giving a testimony, time goes by rather quickly, and continue sharing with you my verbal abuse association that I got into being grown, detouring my walk with God and hooking up and trying to save my love life myself in my flesh. I had a relationship with a man, and it was very, very painful. Everything was going well. I thought with Will, everything was going to be honky-dory, as we say. I thought this was going to be my husband. I was going to have my white picket fence, my two dogs, and live happily ever after. I didn't know that going into about 8 months of our association that Will turned the wheel. He turned his character. He turned absolutely into a monster. So he began to treat me as if I was a stranger, and he was doing me a favor by associating with me. Some of the things that I'm going to share with you is that in the association, I wasn't in a good place. I wasn't working at the time, and he was like my father. He was a good provider. He was providing and sustaining me while I continued to look for a job, but nothing had come through. And we know in today's time that sometimes acquiring a job can take a little longer than usual. So in the meantime of Will taking this new job, which moved him out of state, he began to change. He began to talk to me in a way that I didn't understand where this was coming from, because I was a very faithful woman. I was very committed to our association, and I wanted it to work and continue to grow. So there were times right before he even left to take the job, he said to me, "I'm taking this new job, but I want to share with you, Yolanda, that I'm the best thing happening for you, because now that you are in approaching your 40s, you're washed up. Nobody wants you. Men are not checking for older women. Men want something young and tender. So if you know like I know, you need to get it together, because the worst thing between us is finances. I've got my money, honey. You need to get your money." Wow. Audience, can you say, that's what you call love? I think I'm going to pass. Next scenario. I remember a time when he said, okay, well, we're looking for houses. He had got to the state where his new job was. We were going to look for houses. He was going to bring me there, and we're going to get everything settled. He said to me, "You know what, I'm beginning to have second thoughts, because you keep talking about God all the time, and I really ain't feeling this." Oops. Do I hear atheist? Because if you don't believe in God, who else do you believe in? You haven't spoken to me about Buddha, Asalaka Lakum, or anything else, so what are you saying? You haven't had a problem with my Christianity before, so now it's making you uncomfortable knowing that you'll have to be in the house with me, and I will continue to praise God. He said to me, that's neither here nor there. What you need to do is put God on hold. Get your money. Go back to what you used to do if you have to. Get on the stage, shake it, drop it like it's hot. Do whatever you need to do. Hustle up, figure it out, stack your paper, and tell God you're going to get with him later. Damn. Wow, such a lovely man, huh? What kind of verbal abuse is this? Last straw. Will said to me at that time, I was so under so much pressure and so much stress, I had went to the hospital, and I mentioned this last week on my show. I had something come up, and it wasn't life-threatening. It wasn't a disease or anything like that. It was just a normal thing that sometimes can happen. And I went to, you know, see about myself, and they told me I needed to do this and do that, and everything would be okay. So I instantly called him because as a woman, you're going to call your associate, spouse, man, whoever he is, to you to share. He said to me, what are you calling me for? I'm out of town working, Yolanda. Don't bother me with your problems. There's nothing I can do for you. I'm too far away. Handle it. Bam. Wow. Such a great, kind, humbling man. Listen to the three things I've shared with you, how verbally abusive and ugly acting that this man's character turned out to be. Last thing that I'm going to share in that association that he said to me, which just really blew me away. He said to me, if you in your lifetime expect to ever have a man or a husband, you will not embarrass yourself by sharing your testimony of what you've gone through coming from the stages to the pages of the Bible. Because don't nobody want to hear that garbage. Well, guess what, Will? If you're listening, God wanted my garbage because God said my mess became my message to reach and teach people. So my journey was already predestined when I said, God, I'm going to serve you. God, I choose you, and I have unshakable faith for you. So my testimony has not embarrassed me. It's actually elevated me. Because it's letting people know that I'm not too holy and I'm not too good to let them know that we all have to go through or we all have been through to get to. So you didn't discourage me, Will. You encouraged me. Thank you. And I went to God and I said, God, I have this same pain and anger that I'm feeling towards Will that I had for my father. I need for you to humbly receive my heart as your daughter, accepting that I forgive him because I can't move forward in my life feeling this ugly. And when I did that, I began to feel a wave of releasement and peace come over me, and it came in my life. So I'm sharing this with you all tonight to let you know. It's not about the hurt that you encounter. It's about the healing that you have to set yourself up for to receive. In order to receive the healing and forgiveness, you have to have the connection with God. Because only God can saturate, permeate, and surround you and encamp angels about you and deposit in you the strongness that you need to move forward. You don't want to be in that place that you consistently harbor, carry, and endure pain. You need to be able, I'm doing tonight, open up a wound and talk about it, because once you know you can open up that wound and talk about it, God has carried you through it. Truly and sincerely hope that tonight's show of me sharing with you the domestic abuse of being raised in a home where my father beat my mother, and now just sharing with you about the association I had in a verbal abusive relationship with Will. And also, many of you listening are probably saying, well, how did she get away from Will? What I did was I kneeled down one night and I said, God, you have so much more for me. I am worthy to be in the presence of a man who's not verbally abusive and who will really love me for me. God, give me the strength, and you continue to carry me forward because I trust you. And on that day, I had $5. Listen to me. I had $5 to my name. That was over 3 years ago. God did a 360 in my life. He gave me a great job. He supplied every need, and he restored to me everything that I lost as far as material things. But the greatest thing he restored in me was my peace. Because as long as you got peace, you got everything you need. Because peace allows you to move forward and focus on your future and not marinate over your past. When you give it to God, he will release the past, and you can walk into your future with happiness. Please take part and join me every Sunday here at Empowering for All. Once again, I am Evangelist Yolanda McTeer, your host. My show producer, once again, shout out to her. I love her dearly. One of the most sincere, humbling, innovating, knowledgeable, Miss Nikki Rich. Buy my book. It will take you from the start of where I talk about how I was raised in the home with my father being abusive, of actually running away from that and how I ended up in the streets, on the stages in Atlanta, Georgia. The title of my book is The Tragic Times of a Woman. It is available through Barnes & Noble and Amazon. You can also purchase it on my website, www.ymctierempowerment4all.com. I will repeat, www.ymctier, M as in Mary, C as in Charlie, T as in Tango, I-E-R, empowerment4all.com. Do you have a business? Would you like to advertise your business by running a commercial on my show every Sunday? Direct message me on Twitter at capital Y, capital M, lowercase C, capital T, I-E-R. Follow me on Facebook, Evangelist Yolanda McTeer. I am new to Instagram, Evangelist Y McTeer. It gives me joy every day that I get up and I can say, Lord, I thank you. If it had not been for you, where would I be? But you continue to carry me, keep me, and bless me. And once you get in that place with God, you can say, Lord, you also never left me. Yes, many of you are probably asking, did she really forgive her father? Yes, I did. I talked to him. We've never had a close relationship. That's something that he chose. You can't make people do something they don't want to do. But when I talk to him, I don't feel anger. I feel love for him because I pray every day. My father didn't have a close relationship with God. He mocked my mother for going to church. So I pray every day that he finds in his heart to know that God is real and that when God comes to carry him home, that he will lift his eyes in heaven and not burn in hell. Many times people are in denial for what they've done because they feel like it was okay. But we have to be a greater person and say, I'm going to pray for you because there is power in prayer. And I continuously pray for my father on a daily basis. I pray that we'll find it in his heart and mind and say, wherever that disgruntled, dysfunctional, nasty character that he has in him to be verbally abusive to women, that he goes to a place with God and gets right with God so God can take it out of him so he can eventually in his life connect with somebody because he needs the help. But I thank God for my future because I know now without a shadow of a doubt, any time that I allow myself to be associated with someone, I will continuously stay in the presence of my father and say, God, snatch the covers off of this man to show me what is wrong. I will not get out on my own in my flesh trying to do it my way because God loved me so much that he snatched me and allowed me to see you doing it your way, and I didn't tell you to go that way because that's not who I have for you. Get out of that lane. You made an illegal lane change, my daughter. Come back over here. Now I'm back in the right lane, and I've been moving forward greatly. Many of you are saying, well, are you associating with someone now? No, currently Evangelist Yolander is single, but I'm not looking because God has Boaz. I'm in my place, and I will connect in due season because everything with God is in season. No need to rush. No need to press. No need to be de-stressed. Everything is already in order because I trust. Winding down to the last 3 minutes of my show, once again, be sure to continuously tune in every Sunday here at Empowering for All on Blog Talk Radio, 323-580-5749. Anytime that you call in, you can always press 1 for prayer. Listen. Be encouraged. Here at Empowering for All, I'm here to build your faith, break down the walls of evilness, encourage you and not judge you, and continuously pray that God bless you. I look forward to next week. We've got some great new things coming up. I've got some guests that are going to be coming on live that I'm going to be interviewing. I love their author page that they sent me. I'm not going to give it away now, but they're going to be coming on, and that whole show is going to be dedicated to a book that they wrote as well. In God's kingdom, we share. We don't oversaturate. We combine. We connect, and that's what God is instructing me to do. I love you. I consistently pray for you, and I ask that you be blessed. Until next week at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Central Time, I'm Evangelist Yolander McTeer, saying goodnight.
Tell me when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a stand.